Right. So how do we bounce back from adversity? How do we keep growing and how do we respond?
Today on the Rising Coaches podcast, we get the opportunity to speak with a current member of the Rising Coaches community and the assistant at Lewis and Clark College, Coach Matt Mayberg. Coach Mayberg is a young coach and still on the rise as he has learned in a variety of positions, including an intern, graduate manager, and head grad assistant, all while at Seattle University. Following Seattle, he moved on to Peninsula College and helped them lead to a 36-18 overall record in two seasons while being in the top four of the conference every year. Coach Mayberg now stands at Lewis and Clark, where they have recently recorded the best offensive point production in over 20 years. Please welcome Coach Matt Mayberg. Video analysis is expensive and your budget probably isn't getting much bigger. Fulcrum Tech is here to help. Used by basketball teams at all levels from Division I all the way to high school, their Angles product is very similar to what you know and allows you to code, capture, and analyze with ease. All you have to do is import the raw video in Synergy with just the click of a mouse. Over the past 2 years, over 60% of Division I teams in conferences such as the SEC, Pac-12, American, NBC, and A-10, just to name a few, have made the postseason, all while using Fulcrum Tech and saving thousands and thousands of dollars compared to their old companies. Reach out to Fulcrum Tech on X at Fulcrum Tech or their sales@fulcrumtech.com. Just shoot them over an email and be sure to mention if you are a Rising Coaches member. Do more, spend less with Fulcrum Tech. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Rising Coaches podcast. You have Doug and Alan here, and today we get the pleasure of speaking with a Rising Coaches member and the current assistant at Lewis and Clark College, Coach Matt Mayberg. Coach Mayberg, what's going on, baby?
What's going on, y'all? Appreciate y'all having me.
No, thank you for being here, man. Thank you.
It's good to see you again. I know I always make sure to have to say this on every one of these. Jonesy, you know, well, there's been a variety of guys. I mean, there's a handful, five or six people, but you're one of the OGs, at least to me. You know, mm-hmm. You're one of the OGs to me, the people who have been on the Zoom calls and, you know, going through COVID and all that stuff. This is one of those guys. So it's good to be able to sit here and talk with you and especially see you moving up the ranks too.
No, I appreciate that. It's the COVID was a crazy time, man. That was those Zoom calls. I mean, that going through the highlights of the day, just giving us something to kind of break up the Netflix binges was awesome. Always have a special.
Let me roll out of bed real quick.
I know, it was wild.
So just to kind of jump right into things, I mean, we mentioned Lewis and Clark, right? That's where you're currently at. You're an assistant over there. So talk about the opportunity to be there, how that position had transpired over the years. You know, how did you end up getting into that position? Was it just you knew somebody? Was it, you know, just I'll let you kind of take it from there.
Yeah, no, it's a cool story. And I think, you know, one, I think just that's kind of indicative of like the industry that we're in. So going all the way back. I started at Seattle U as a graduate manager, or really as a summer intern while I was still at Gonzaga as an undergrad. And, you know, after being a graduate assistant there, moving on to the junior college level, I still kept really strong relationships with Chris Victor and all those guys that were still there, Jonesy being another one. And I would come back and work camps. We had one of their elite camps that they, you know, just I'm from Seattle, so any chance I would get to be back home and be around there, I would take and, you know, help them out, just try and pick guys' brains. There's just so many great coaches that are through there. So, you know, at the time, Justin Bradley was there. He's now at Loyola Chicago. And, you know, I think we were just running some kind of like catch and rip, drive and kick station. And I just, you know, I was in there just kind of doing my thing, stopping it, be like, no, we got it. Like, we want to play like college players, not like high school players. So, you know, I was getting a little fired up and, but I guess it made an impression. And, you know, when Coach Tim McCrory had a job opening, him and JB are really close and, just kind of, JB put it on my radar. And it just kind of, it took off from there. It worked out really well. It was a really, really good opportunity. It's been an awesome connection with Coach Tim. And, you know, I think that's where, when you know people on both sides, and that's where mutual friends, mutual people in the industry say, okay, this would be a really good fit for each other. So that's kind of how that came about.
Wow. Now, Doug and I talk about this all the time on here, man, just the power of relationships. Like, you just never know. Sometimes it's a phone call. Sometimes it's a handshake. Sometimes it's, like you said, the Zoom calls. Like, these little interactions in and of themselves, when they happen at the moment, may not seem like a big deal. But if you kind of nurture and cultivate these things as you, you know, move forward, you know, 3 years, 5 years, you know, it's like a bamboo tree. All of a sudden, like, it's not even in sight. And then all of a sudden, it's, next thing you know, it's 50 feet high. And so you just never know where these relationships are going to lead. That's why it's so important to treat everyone, you know, just so like it's really special. And individually. So I'm glad you shared that, because there's a lot of guys on this pod that just need to understand, like, just keep building authentic relationships along the way, because you never know where they're going to lead.
It reminds me of a similar story from Kevin Eastman. You remember hearing that? Yeah. We were recently talking with Kevin Eastman, former NBA assistant, and he was saying, you know, exactly like that. I was working a camp. Next thing you know, there's a guy named Austin Rivers, who we didn't know, was working the camp. And then Doc Rivers gives him a call and says, hey, let's go have some coffee. I want to talk to you. And the guy gets a job out of it. So it's crazy.
Yeah. You mentioned that. I actually got I have the book right here.
Kevin was coaching a camp, and Austin's AAU team. Mm-hmm. was at the camp, you know, a bunch of his AAU players. And so Austin goes back and tells Doc, like, hey man, the guy doing our camp was like really good, you know. And they end up meeting and talking, and, you know, now he's got a big fat NBA ring on his mantle because of it. It's just crazy. So I'm glad you started off with that. I mean, just your story is just chock full of what relationships are all about.
So you being an assistant at a Division III school, okay, that's one thing that I want to make sure. And honestly, like, I say that specifically because I'm still in Division III, and me and I were just speaking before.
My first job, first gig, Division III.
Kalu?
D3 gang. Yeah. D3 yeah. gang. Yeah. I got you. I love
it. We get them next year. So I'm going to need the food hookups for when we go down.
Sometimes a D3, it ends up being Jack in a Box. Yeah. Just depends on the budget, but they got there's a good Jack in a Box about a mile and a half from campus. I used to, that was my post game meal all the time. So. Yeah.
But for you, like, the reason I specifically say D3 isn't necessarily like a slam. It's more of like, you have a lot of duties, right? Me and Al were talking about this. You do a wide variety of things. So just for you, talk about, what does your day to day look like? What is just a typical thing that you do as an assistant?
Yeah. And I think, and even it's very similar, because I was at a junior college even before this, and it's very similar when right now I'm the only full-time assistant on staff. So with that in mind, again, you get the opportunity to do a lot of different things. So, you know, like you said, you wear a lot of different hats. There's, even beyond basketball. So even just, if you're going to start with the day, you kind of come in. A lot of it is, you know, helping with, especially at a high academic school, like, I have some background in academic advising. So, you know, a general example is, you know, I teach a class, I teach a fitness class. So that's usually how I start the day on a Monday for an hour there, kind of get the general students ready to rock and roll, switch gears, kind of start meeting with players. I can help a couple of our guys that, you know, are going through some tough majors. We have a bunch of biology, computer science, people that are way smarter than I am. So just, you know, maybe not helping them with the content, but just as much trying to stay organized. So that's a really, really big part of it, especially at our level. And then especially in season, there's just so much that goes on with that. And then from there, you know, again, a little bit of everything. I have some background in video coordinating. So we do a lot of video scout in season. Practice prep, scouting. You know, we do our own breakdown and analysis as well. So kind of a, you know, a good 2 to 3 hour block of just internal breakdown, external scout, all that kind of stuff. Guys come in and watch a ton of film with me, which is awesome. Just A, building relationships, but just B, at the same time, their ambition to learn and grow. So kind of taking on some video coordinator roles as well as, so this year I kind of coordinated the defense. Last year I helped out and kind of helped manage the offense. So doing a little bit of both in terms of kind of year by year, this year again, defense. So just trying to, again, grow myself. If I can sneak a, you know, championship production video from time to time, or just watch somebody else, kind of an hour in there. But yeah, and then again, when it gets back on the floor, practice, kind of your daily duties of, Coach Tim does a really good job of letting me have a voice and, you know, growing my own voice. So all of our defensive shell install, stuff like that. And then obviously there's a ton of different things out of season now, you know, both recruiting is a huge one, but they have this clause, duties is assigned, where we're running the baseball games. Now I'm doing interviews. So there's a lot of stuff that, you know, that kind of needs to get done. And I think as an assistant at this level, just, you know, helping to pour back into the program and, you know, pour back into the athletics community, the Lewis and Clark community as a whole.
Hey, man, I totally get that duties is assigned thing. I was a volleyball ref and I ran the score clock for men's and women's soccer games. It's all like 25 bucks a pop. Like, you know, you just kind of fill in wherever you need it. I mean, I found myself doing this and, you know, on volleyball games, you know, fans yelling at you when you miss a call. I'm like, come on, man. I mean, come Friday night. You'll see what I really do. You know,
it changed your experience to talking to refs after that, didn't it?
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. No, a little bit more empathy. But talk about real quick, like, and how much, because I can relate to what you went through when I was at Ohio State. Coach Mata had, we shifted from rotating the scouts to more of a coordinator deal. And talk about how much that grew you just in that, you know, when you're watching, like, because you're on every game, obviously, and you're watching, how do we stop them, right? Like, that's your number one thing on your mind, like from transition to pick and roll to the post to the sets, like your whole thing is, how do we stop them? But talk about how much that grew you as a coach over the course of the year, because what happens is you start to see, like, all right, people can only run so much stuff.
It's so much. Like, I think, you know, at the same time, you know, we play in a really talented conference. So there's a ton of really, really good players, really good coaches. And, you know, some teams may only run a couple things, but they run it so well that sometimes they don't have to run anything else, that they just,
right.
You know, so it's from that side of it, I think we had a really funny conversation, Coach McCrory and I, is because I came in, you know, trying to, you know, I think just saying, you know, my goal was to grow offensively. And that was what we did in the first year. But we had an end of the year meeting at the first year. And he goes, you know, I think you're really more of a defensive coach. And that's probably fair, you know, working under, you know, Chris Victor a lot, and then Donald Roman, who is a head coach at Peninsula, is just one of the best defensive coaches you'll ever find. You know, I think just kind of latching onto them, that's actually where I've always kind of connected in myself. So I'm like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But just the growth, yeah, to just day by day of, you know, working with guys and just, you know, it's such a, the offense is so good. Players are so skilled. Like, just trying to be like, okay, let's try and take one or two things away and kind of understanding, like, you know, where we can grow, where we can get better, and kind of changing my mindset there, like going into something that, you know, I felt I knew, but once you get thrown in the fire a little bit, it's like, okay, we gotta, you know, you can't give what you don't have. So from there, just really, really challenge, you know, loving being uncomfortable in that at times, and then growing within, you know, growing within kind of a new role is definitely, yeah. No, it changed my trajectory as a coach. And I think, you know, it's easy for people to get put in boxes. You know, I'm the recruiter, I'm the offensive coach, I'm the defensive.
Right,
And this was a really, really good opportunity to kind of something that I'm probably naturally inclined with, but wasn't as comfortable in initially, kind of growing in that.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. I came up with under a lot of defensive guys. And one thing I wish I would have done earlier, if I could give you a little advice, is, you know, treat yourself like a player in the off season and either do a study or pick a team, whether it's college or pro, and just say, and just offense, you know, for 2 weeks, I'm just going to study these guys, steal what I love. And then, you know, so you kind of start building your own. So even though defense is your focus, you're still kind of like exploring stuff on the offensive side just to continue to balance yourself out. I wish I would have done that sooner, because I probably wasn't as good offensively as a head coach as I wish I would have been. I've gotten better since being one, but I wish I would have probably been more prepared on the offensive side. Defensively, I was comfortable. I was fine. We had great, that was one of the best things we did, but I think that would be one thing. If I could go back and turn back the wheels, I would start building myself up in the off season. Like we always tell our players, right? Like, come back with one thing different, you know? So you kind of treat yourself in the same way, and it's good, 'cause it kind of helps you practice what you preach.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I'm really fortunate. I've been able to connect with Phil Beckner, a coach, you know, a skill development coach, works with Damian Lillard, a bunch of guys. And I already used his line. One is you can't give what you don't have. And even then, it's the same way, you know, he puts on a great mentorship group where, you know, it's exactly that. Like, how can you expect and ask players to grow and to work on their game and come back if you're not doing the same as a coach? So I think that, like, professional,
they know that.
Yeah,
they can see it from the player's standpoint. They can 100% see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, everybody thinks they're kids, maybe, oh, you know, but they 100% see it. They 100% see all the work that you're putting in, all the effort you're putting in. And then they're going to try and reciprocate that, right? They're going to try and do that, right? Give it right back. Like, coach is over here working his tail off, and we're just slacking. No, we can't do that. Mm-hmm. At least the right kids, I'll say, the right kids will try and back that.
No question. But
then kind of talking on, so you mentioned Seattle U, right? Seattle University, you were in a variety of different roles over there. You were an intern, you were a grad manager, you were the head grad assistant. Just talk about those positions first, you know, how becoming that intern started, and then just kind of working your way up the chain there.
Yeah, it's an interesting story. So I started as, you know, I did my undergraduate at Gonzaga, and, you know, believe it or not, you know, I know you didn't catch me on any of the games. You might have caught me in the student section, but I wasn't good enough to play at Gonzaga. So, and I you know, don't, our players will tell you, though, I don't lose shooting competitions to players. So I'm no slouch, but, you know, I'm Gonzaga caliber. So, you know, but going there was obviously a great experience. It was a great culture of basketball. Got to do some coaching with the club teams over there. So early in my college career, I went into sports management, and you needed internships to graduate. So the first internship was at Seattle U, just in the general athletic department. At this point, I wasn't sure I wanted to coach, or, you know, I just kind of started to do it and get a taste for it. But, you know, was that going to be my career? I didn't know. So I was in the athletic department doing a little bit of everything for them, like ticketing, every marketing, everything under the sun, game operations. And then, you know, the second year rolls around and I was going to go back, and the paid internship that I had lined up kind of fell through. So they just put an email out, and I'd gotten a chance to meet Cameron Dahler a couple times while there, who's the head coach at the time. And they sent an email out, does anyone be interested in taking on a, you know, intern for the summer? And Cameron emailed right away. And that was secretly the guy I was hoping would kind of pick me up. So being around there and that as a summer intern, you know, again, they could have just put me wherever, stuck me in the corner, put me wherever, and, you know, that, especially as a Division I head coach, not talk to me, but he did something really cool. He told me to text him every day a question that he had, that I had about coaching. It was just an incredible resource and opportunity. So unfortunately, you know, my goal after that summer was to finish my degree at Gonzaga and then go become a graduate assistant for him, which he encouraged, and it worked out. I got in it, but unfortunately he got let go kind of almost like 2 weeks after I got accepted in. So there's a perilous time of like, oh my God, like, what am I going to do? Yeah. So, but again, I'm just incredibly fortunate. Things worked out as Coach Hayford, who came in, kept me on and kind of kept me in that role. That first year, we didn't have any managers, any other full-time support staff. We had Jesse Nakanishi, who's now the head coach at HPU, as the director of ops, Mike Odlin and Arvid Isaacson as two volunteer video coordinators, but we had no student managers. We had no other grad assistants. It was just me. So in that first year, there's still a good amount of basketball, but it was a lot of like what makes the machine go. A lot of laundry, a lot of rebounding, a lot of going to pick up the food. And the cool thing from there, you know, I mean, is just seeing how important that stuff is just for the routine and the rhythm of, you know, college high level athletes. But also really internalizing the like no job too small.
Yes.
Like, I think from there, like valuing the professionalism, valuing how important that stuff is, even if you're not, you know, the one, you know, that gets put on the broadcast or whatever, you know, like yeah. just how that impacts the day-to-day lives of these guys. So from there, it was cool to obviously learn that. The staff grew quite a bit in the second year. But I'll even say before that, there was just this incredible coaching staff there. Chris Victor, who's now the head coach, who's just certified, like they've won the conference since I've, you know, in the last couple of years. They're just rolling right now. Nick Robinson, who's at BYU, Ryan Madry, who's at Santa Clara. So just, it's kind of fun. You see those like coaching staffs that just branch out and move on. And those guys are absolute rock stars. They're killing it where they are. You know, like being able to just be around those guys every day, you just pick up stuff like that. And then, you know, moving on to the second year, we bring in a few other grad assistants, a few other student managers. Sam Kirby comes on to the staff, who's now, I think they just won 20 games. He's a head coach in Cali Junior College. So again, just more guys to learn from. But again, and then that kind of leads you into a bigger video coordinating, kind of helping with some of the portal stuff when it was just getting started, recruiting, and just kind of more getting more of a taste of leadership and kind of organizing our staff, organizing our guys, and then being, you know, going on the road, kind of just helping with all the things that still need to get done, but kind of more coaching.
The jack of all trades.
Yeah.
Matt Mayberg. I mean, especially being the only one there, that you had a lot of responsibility, but at the same point, it's going into, that's you learning, right? That's you kind of getting your feet wet, that's you getting opportunities. So it's like at the same point, yeah, you're working your tail off, but you're a young guy and you're in a good situation. So why would you not want to be?
Yeah.
And then I guess, so one question I kind of had off of it is, as a head coach, right? Of course, all the higher end Division One, probably some Division Two, and even Division Three, some Division Threes have managers, right? Or student assistants. Is there anything like unique that you guys did to utilize those guys? So, and what I mean is, every program has them do, you know, fill the water bottles up during practice, get the scoreboard ready, all that stuff. But was there anything unique you guys did in terms of like, what are some of the best ways, I guess, a head coach can utilize a student manager? Is kind of what I'm getting at.
I can only tell you as an assistant and having lived it. So again, like the first thing I think that was cool was, again, I know I referenced it, but with like Cam Dollar, you know, giving the opportunity to ask questions and learn and grow and like invest in that way. Like, I think for the student managers that are really interested in making this their vocation, their livelihood, you know, I think understanding that it's like you said, water, it's watering the bamboo that you might, it might, it's not, something may not come of it this week or next month after that. But I think as a head coach, recognizing the guys that really want to be there, that really care, that really are working their tails off to do it. And then just finding ways, you know, it doesn't need to make, you don't need to make them the play caller, but finding ways to give them growth, to give the managers the growth opportunity, you know, even if it's in like taking on operations, you know. So I think like one thing here, we had a student last year at Lewis and Clark. We had a player whose career got ended prematurely with injuries and became a student assistant and just blossomed in the role of like operations. So it really helped me out as a coach. So again, one of my things is again, food on the road, some travel stuff, things like that. He just really took that on and dominated that, like was just elite. So I think with that, again, kind of giving opportunities to grow, and even if it's not necessarily on the floor, but being strategic and then kind of making sure that those are like anything on the floor is earned through that kind of stuff outside. Because I think if I would have just kind of gotten thrown right into the fire of like, you know, player development, which I wasn't ready for in any regards, I don't think I still like to this day go back and like, you can't skip the small things. Like I don't take, you know, like when people, like if people don't have their laundry, like I take that personally, like, you know, that's on the, you know, if we don't have, you know, the food or whatever, if it's late, like that's my biggest pet peeve, like that, cause that's stuff that, you know, we worked on and we controlled, like, so, you know,
and made sure to highlight in yellow on the email, please be here at 8:45. And then you're getting a call at 9:15 and you're like, the email says, this isn't my fault.
I know.
I know what I said. I specifically said it over the phone too.
And it's just, it's because you, just in general, whether it's junior college, Division III, Division I, NAI, everything, high school, you know, you want the kids to have a great experience. And I think that's where like that is like the experience of it is so important. So having the food on time, things that if they don't, you only notice if they don't go right, but you know, are a huge part of it. Like making sure the van, you know, the vans are there on time and all this little stuff, that they have clean laundry, that you would never notice it as a player until you don't have it. Right.
Yeah, for sure. No, I think about this sometimes. If I were a head coach again, I would probably have the managers almost be, I don't want to say this, like, you know, maybe one or two guys kind of be a sidekick to each assistant. Right. And they just kind of come in each day and they punch in, tap on those guys' door. Like they have their normal stuff that they're doing in their, whatever their manager rotation is. But then, you know, whether it's, you know, scouting related stuff or skill development, obviously guys all kind of jump in with that stuff too. But would there be any specific things that, you know, each assistant would need where you can say, hey, yeah, I got this, boom. You know, and sometimes they might just knock, you know, tap on the door and say, hey, you know, I'm good today. I got to leave early. My wife's doing this. I got to pick up my kid. Hey, no problem. But at least they just came by and punched in. And I'm not, you know, just from a standpoint of like finding an area or two that would, you know, what are one or two things that they could maybe take off each assistant's plate that now, so now those guys are kind of getting an additional, you know, on the job training, you know, from a coaching perspective, especially if there's guys that are really want to get into coaching, like you said, they know this is what they want to do. And that's just another way of just, you know, giving those guys a little bit of a dose of what it's like.
No question. Yeah. And it's building off that, like one thing that just actually kicks to mind is like how each of those coaches tried to, you know, brought me in and took me under their wing that first year as a, you know, as the only guy there. And to this day, like Nick Robinson would work with the post and I still use his post series to this, you know, Chris's defenses and how we scout is things that I've carried over, you know, Ryan Madry preparation, of kind of some of the deeper looks and film and breakdowns like that, is all that kind of stuff. You know, how Sam would kind of have his recruiting and how he would keep himself organized with that, all that stuff. So yeah, to double down on that for sure. Like, if for those assistants as well, like they may not recognize it at the time. It may just be mundane or just having people sit in. Like, if you're a sponge, you can learn so much. And yeah, no, definitely.
And then, I mean, especially with you guys too, going back to, and this will kind of time travel back a little bit, 2017, 2018, you guys had a 20-win season, right? Yeah. 20-win season, the first in over 50 years that year. Was there anything in particular that really like stands out that year that you think this is what we did that, of course, there's a lot of things, right? But was there one like specific thing that you're like, this is one reason why we really excelled that year?
So I think a couple things. Man, that's longer ago than I'd like to admit.
Hey, but you know what, Doug? You know what, Doug? We got the hand on the chin.
You did. There it is.
We got the hand on the chin. That's all right. Take your time, man. It's going to be good.
Yeah. No, I think with that, like, I think kind of coming in, and there's a lot of life. We had a lot of transfers that year, and that was even kind of before the portal had really become what it was. But we had a lot of grad transfers. So there were three guys there with Rashad Gettins, Jordan Hill, and Josh Herlihy, that were all there, that were really mature, that handled their business, that were all really professional. Then you had three transfers that redshirted at the time. And I think those guys were invaluable because we had the best scout team in America with Deshaun, Miles Carter, and Delonte Jones. So I think with that, kind of the depth of that team, but also just, I think there's just a lot of life. The coaches were rocks, like I said, were rock stars. But you know, Nick, Coach Hayford is just offensive mastermind. Nick is the same way. Chris is now, you see what Chris is doing as a head coach, and defensively, they're always one of the best teams in the country. And then Madry, in terms of bringing guys in, like they're just, Santa Clara is just pumping out pros, and you know, they just, sore subject, just beating Gonzaga. You know, they are a powerhouse in the wings. So I think the coaching staff was a big thing there, but I think it was a really, really connected group. We just, in with the maturity, and just being able to blend a lot of guys and become kind of just kind of aligned goals and make sure that, you know, obviously everybody come in there, especially with a lot of grad transfers that are kind of one and done, like making, you know, allowing them to all buy in, which I think is, you know, people with transfers can take that for granted, you know, especially to what's going in. So I think that just the maturity, just the, and then the having a bunch of guys that bought into roles that and then were stars in their roles.
That's not easy to find.
It sounds like those three grad guys, correct me if I'm wrong, Matt, but like, it sounds like those three grad guys, just the way they operated day to day, had a ripple effect on the entire team.
No question.
Because number one, you're only, not only are you counting on them to be like really good for you, but then like they dot their I's and cross their T's on a daily basis. So it's almost like the professionalism that they brought, even though they weren't pros yet, they still had an air of professionalism about them that like set the tone for everybody else. And it sounds like that's almost resonated to this day. Like that was almost like a foundational thing when those guys came in and operated, because the train hadn't stopped rolling since then.
No question. Yeah. And I couldn't agree more. And that there, you go into the offices, a lot of those guys' pictures are still in the, you know, now kind of graphiced onto the wall. And yeah, I just think, yeah, like you said, like now kind of a lot of people's goal is to get old and stay old.
Yes.
That's where it works really well. Cause it's not always like that, but at the same time, like just kind of that, like you said, that maturity of like, okay, I'm here to do things the right way, set the tone. And yeah, you can see it clearly trickle down.
It's important to get old, and it's hard to stay old. The biggest challenge sometimes is finding guys that act old.
Yeah.
Right? Because you know, because like that's when you really got it, right? Like, yeah. I mean, when you have the maturity, but then how that, you know, age and the behavior kind of like are equal. Like, yeah, this guy's 22 years old, but he's operating like he's 26.
Right.
In terms of just his day to day, like, you know, whether he produces points, rebounds, assists, whole nother deal altogether, but just his everydayness, if that's even a word.
Yeah.
That's such a big deal. Like, and then once you can kind of get that in your program, and now you kind of create a blueprint mm-hmm. for how you want to operate, you know, from year to year.
Yeah. We have a term, EDMFer. So that's, I won't tell yeah. you what that, you know, but
yeah, the back end's understood. Yeah.
Yeah.
Every right. day. Yeah, that's yeah. right.
Yeah. I'm clear.
And that's what you need. And that's, you know, that's what we had. And, you know, at least as a coach too, it's cool to kind of see, you know, Jordan came from Wisconsin. So he played for a national, you know, was on a national championship runner up team. Josh had been really successful. And then, Rashad had played 4 years at Weber and still, again, really, really good program. So you get a lot of good, really good players from really good programs, and winning begets winning, you know. And obviously Chris had been, you know, you just have coaches that had won, like Hayford had won a ton of games at Whitworth and taken, you know, Eastern to the tournament. Chris was a phenomenal head coach in his own right. So, you know, just being able to, I think that is the, you know, you in the recruiting realm of trying to recruit winners and surround yourself with winning.
Yeah. And still in that mindset on a day-to-day basis always helps it too, you know, coming from the first mouth that everybody hears in practices is the head coach. It was Konzo Martin. I'm starting to pull out people. I remember he mentioned his wife told him. It was another guy that we had here on the podcast, former NBA player, and he told, and I should say, and head coach, and he said, like, his wife told him, is this how, like, your kids are going to start seeing you now? Is you're not doing so good, so you're just going to start kind of taking the backseat, sleeping in a little more, going in the office a little later, and he said he was in there first thing, 6 a.m., and it's just like that, it's all that mental thing, you know, you see your coach putting in the work, so yeah. Might as well we have to put the work in. And then I kind of want to real quickly ask this question, and then we'll cut to our final segment. But Rising Coaches, obviously you're a member. You've been a part of it for a while now, as we mentioned, because we stem back all the way to COVID, but maybe even a little before that. Talk about just Rising Coaches, how it's helped you, if it has, in that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think, like you said, there's the clinics, there's kind of the surface, some surface level stuff where it's just easy to, you sign up and you go in and you can just learn and take the X's and O's. That's really, really good. Like the content there is, you know, phenomenal. Even like I listen to this podcast every week when it comes out. Like there's
all right. We got one listener. We got one person listening, Doug. That's all right.
Keeping the lights on around here, you know. Yeah. You know, I think, again, just a lot, like you said, the like people have said, their clinics and, you know, socials. And I think if you just kind of log in and listen and just take a very, there's a first level of just being able to hear and learn and grow in that regard, which I think is awesome. What's really helped me, though, even more so is, you know, we talk about relationships, and I know that's really, really important in our industry. And I, you know, I look at it in three ways of like, there's mentorship, or finding people to pour into you, to grow. And even then, like Alan, everything that you said at the beginning, like I'm going to clock that lesson right there. And just like, where you say, like, take 2 weeks and really do the deep dive, like having, you know, coaches that have been in there, you know, have been doing this, that can give to you. There's the mentorship there. There's the fellowship, which Doug, you know, we, you know, similar level, like growing in, like going through the pandemic, like there's things that, you know, I'm fortunate. I have a girlfriend that I have no business having. It's just, I'm an incredible, you know, in that regard, I'm an incredible recruiter. So
it's all, you know, right. It's okay to outkick your coverage every now.
Absolutely.
And then. No problem.
But, you know, there's things that, you know, you look at our profession from the outside looking in, and it doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, we're not doing a lot of this stuff to get rich, right? It's because it gives us so much enjoyment. It's because it's so rewarding. So, you know, being able to have fellowship and connect over things, you know, like that, you know, a lot of people don't understand, And then the last part, you know, the thing that I want to, you know, obviously kind of grow the longer I'm in this is like the stewardship of it. So being able to preserve the profession, to grow it even more, to make sure that, you know, hopefully, you know, like I said, I didn't play in college, and I know it's, there's a stigma. There's a lot of like, you know, you have to be a former player to be successful in this, and, or do this, that, and the third. And, you know, I hope that, you know, I can help grow the game and give, you know, I haven't done enough yet to really, you know, be, you know, I don't want to say role model, but just, I want to make sure that people, you know, like me, that maybe say, oh, well, you know, I don't have a chance. How do I, you know, it's, there's no path for me, that I hope that people can, you know, get confidence to know that there is a path for everybody. Nobody, there's no two paths that are the same in this profession. So
right,
there's a way through hard work and, you know, doing things the right way and building relationships. So that's what I've gotten the most out of Rising Coaches, is those thing. Three levels of connection.
Yeah. That's the crazy thing. There is no path.
That's incredibly said. Yeah. And now more than ever, I mean, you know, with the staffs expanding, you know, who knows, there'll probably be another staff addition. You know, they had the two last summer, you know, at least at the Division I level, where you could add two guys, and most people restructured, which was fine, but some people brought in new guys. But, you know, there's more opportunities now than ever, just because of video, of analytics, of, you know, director of scouting, or just all this stuff. But yeah, I love those three things, the way you stated it, man. That honestly, I mean, if you want to sum up what Rising Coaches is about, that's really it, to be honest. I mean, you know, you got mentorship, you know, what you hate to say top down or from above, but, you know, learning from those that have maybe done it longer than you, than the fellowship, the, you know, connecting across, and then the stewardship is, you know, like Konzo Martin said, always bring somebody with you.
Yeah.
You know? And that's it. When I called him when I first took this role with Rising Coaches, he said, whatever you do, man, just, you know, do your best to bring somebody with you. And so,
here I am, Al.
Yeah, that's right. Now it's, now after I've been up that, now after that, it's, how can I get rid of that somewhere? No, I'm just kidding. No, those are three diamonds right there, man. I love the way you stated that. Beautiful.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
So what we'll do is we'll cut down to our final segment, just three quick hitters, and then our final question to wrap it all up. But for the first quick hitter, so what is a top thing you would instill on a team? And I'm opening that to whatever you want. That can be offensively, that can be defensively, that can be team morale. Like, how do you build chemistry? If you were a head coach today, what's the first thing you're walking into that gym and you're like, we're going to do this?
I think we need to highlight a why. Because I think, having been around a couple different levels, like, sometimes the why is very clear. You know, junior college, your why is you want to get to the next level, right? Division I, you want to go to the tournament. You want to continue to play pro. You know, Division III, there's a love of the game, but, you know, whether it's a community, whether it's, you know, you're doing something, being a part of something that's bigger than yourself. Like, I think highlighting a genuine team why, because as a coach, I feel like you can't give, that's not something you can give a team. It's something that needs to be discovered for themselves. I think the plays that you run, the defense you run, you know, your ATOs, they're all secondary if you don't have the human element of connection, and you don't have something, a shared common ground. Because everybody's, you'll never find 15 of the same people. And even then, you probably don't want that.
Yeah, you know? No, not at all.
So that's the cool thing. I think just highlighting the why, and, you know, because that's what'll get you through the tough times. And, you know, one thing we say is, you know, you want people that you can lose with, in the sense that, like, you know, there's very rarely do you have a perfect season, right? So how do we bounce back from adversity? How do we keep growing, and how do we respond to things like that? So
I wrote that one down real quick.
We use the acronym here on why, WHY, is what hypes you.
What hypes you?
And sometimes that it can be a who, you know, like it could be maybe there's a family photo in a guy's locker room. So it could be who hypes you, because sometimes the what, you know, can cloud, you know, is great, because sometimes the what is like an external thing. Yeah. And sometimes the who hypes you can be somebody, you know, again, your grandmother or your, you know, your girlfriend or, you know, your family or, you know, whatever it is, your faith, whatever that could be. Like, so, you know, whatever that what or who is a big deal is in that W. And then the HY is, you know, the hype, you know, what hypes you, what who, yeah. who hypes you, you know, what, you know, when you get out of bed, you usually, you, that's usually the first two things you're, first couple of things you're thinking about, and you're probably thinking about them before you go to bed at night too.
I like the hype, the hype of it, because you gotta get have some food.
Man, no doubt, no
and
doubt.
Because that and that's it's gotta be fun. Like work is work, but like you don't want to come in going like, damn, I gotta do these, gotta get through this shell drill again. I want to be
yeah, you want to change the
guy excited about our closeouts.
Yeah, you want the gotta to become get to.
Yeah. You know, no, that's real. I like that.
Gotta's drudgery and get to is, man, you know, it's a hardball thing. Who's got it better than us, right?
Yeah.
Kind of, we're the lucky ones.
And then the second question we have would be, so we'll say you're watching film on Lewis and Clark right now, okay? Is there one thing when you watch your team, not the other team, but you're watching your team, is there one thing that you specifically look for the most?
I'll try and keep it to the defensive side, because I know at least I think we are an offensive minded team. So actually, well, I will say, I'll try not to speak for anybody, but I know when we like just when we pass the ball and reverse the ball, we are just such a different team. Obviously, you know, you can Google it. We had a tough year this year, and you know, we had a lot of transfers, and you know, it's one of those times for us is just kind of bringing guys together. We were incredibly talented. So I think for us is offensively was our passing, and the more we passed it, the more assists we had, the better we were, which you could say, duh, but like,
no, but that's absolutely,
you know that.
Some people try and overcomplicate, you know, what's simple. And so I think looking at us and our passing and just kind of how the ball moves on target, on time passes, all that kind of stuff is really important for us. And then from a defensive side, it's actually, What I like to do is when we watch our defensive clips, I'll put my headphones in so I don't disrupt anybody else, but I just turn the volume up and see just our level of communication. So when we are communicating, when we are really connected, when we are, you know, five guys guarding as one instead of one, you know, five separate guys guarding, playing one-on-one, that's where our defense was really good versus where it was maybe not so good. So that's defensively is, I think it's just the communication. And again, like you kind of talk about, like, again, I'll circle back to hype. Like, I think you got to be excited about it. Like what hypes us up is, you know, that connection, that, you know, getting stops, stringing stops together. You know, I think that's probably what I look for the most as a coach. But yeah, no, I think that plays itself. The communication goes hand in hand with body language, goes hand in hand with, you know, execution.
Like sometimes that. You can even notice that stuff with the sound off. That's when you, that, you know, I mean, like you really know, like you can just watch the activity. Yeah. And you know, just the level of hands and feet and eyes and all that. Like, you're like, all right, I can, with the sound off, this looks pretty good. So when I unmute this, it's probably going to be the way we'd like to hear it, you know?
And then the final quick hitter we had is just, overall broad basketball and coaching, right? The whole scheme of things. What are you just most passionate about? What do you enjoy the most about it?
I mean, there's so much to love. I think I love the competition of just being able to, you know, give it your best. And there's a certain, like, it's always nerves going into a game just because it means something. You know, I think just that adrenaline before a game is something that I'll, you know, personally, I love, but even more so. And again, you know, truthfully, the sustainable part of it is it goes beyond like the games, like the game, you know, that's what brings us to Lewis and Clark. That's what brought you, Seattle U, Peninsula College, you know, wherever, you know, is, but it really is the relationships. And then, you know, what I do love about it now is I'm not that old, but I'm staring down the barrel of 30. So I feel old, my back feels old. So, you know, being able to like just connect with young, you know, with these players that in my heart, I still feel there to be their age, like, and just, you know, seeing their growth, like trying to give them the game, just so that they don't have to go through some of the things on the court, off the court that I had to, you know, I was incredibly fortunate to have, you know, a mom and a dad who worked their tails off to be able to put me in a spot where I can, you know, where I can pursue my goals and chase this dream. And you know, for me, like, I think what makes this so is just being able to try and give back, like just try and make the community around me and, you know, give these guys an advantage so that they can do what they want to do as well.
Can't get that feeling anywhere else, man.
It's hard. No, you do.
And then the final question to wrap it all up. What is, if you had to narrow down to one, best piece of advice for young rising coaches trying to get their foot in the door, and then how can they accomplish that?
Yeah, I'll circle back to like no job too small, you know, and I think right now a lot of people get deterred by, you know, is this sustainable? Is this, you know, at the beginning, especially it's harder to, there's not a lot of grad assistant jobs that are, you know, you're going to mm-hmm. be also driving the Rolls Royce. So like Nike Air Maxes to walk, you know, walk from the apartment. There's no cars here. So, I think like, you know, for me, even then, like I kind of just want really trying to understand yourself, understand what you want as a young coach, what your goal is. And then once you have it, like be relentless, like, you should be, you know, like you should be nervous at times because that means you care. But just power through the same way you tell your guys to be fearless in a big moment, like,
right,
you know, as a coach, go get it, go chase it. Especially younger coaches, well, you know, you don't have a lot tying you down, go take that job in the middle of nowhere, Port Angeles, right? And double down and buy in, you know, believe in yourself and mm-hmm. have people around you that surround, you know, that will buy into you, that will show up to your game when there's only two other people in the stands. Right.
Right.
So no, I think that for me, that's invaluable. I just, you know, I have a lot of self-belief, but you know, at the same time, I'm incredibly fortunate to have a support staff, have a support group around me of parents, significant others, my best friends will drive 3 hours to the middle of nowhere to watch us coach a game and, you know, with nobody else in the gym, and we'll still bring the juice. Yeah. So, you know, I know there's a lot in there, no job too small, double down on yourself, make wherever you are the big time, all things that are really good that I've heard. So, you know, and then just like you, I have it on the one thing Tim told me that I will have, I might tattoo it. I love it. So just pour into people, because the more you give, you know, in one way or the other, everything you give, you'll get back.
Perfect. Gold, gold, gold. So, I mean, that being said, does anybody have any final comments before we get to the closing remarks?
No, I just want to say thanks, Matt, for jumping on. This has been awesome, man. You got hearing you talk, nobody would think you're not 30 years old yet, because you got a maturity and a wisdom that's down the line, man. And that's hard to find. So you got a unique journey and it's yours, and just keep chasing it, man. The sky's the limit. I mean, the best is ahead for sure, whatever that looks like, but it's going to be good because you're doing this for the right reasons and it just oozes out of you. So that's big time. So we appreciate you jumping on, brother.
I appreciate it as well, man. Now you guys are, this is, I a lot of this stuff I learned, you know, honestly, just from what you guys do and the platform that you have is really, really important for growth, for people like me that are looking to get better. So I'm honored to be a part of it. You know, and again, I by no means have it all figured out. So
neither do we. We're, yes. we're, we are, You got two proud thieves right here, man. We're stealing the jacket.
That's why we do this.
We can get. No, we are.
I already got half a page of notes from what you guys are going. So I'm taking it. I'm right back with you. It's a fair trade.
We are proud thieves, brother. We got no pride whatsoever. So
making like a bandit with this.
Thank you again. Honestly, it is great to be able to just speak with you again. I know it's been a little. I mean, obviously we text and have calls, but it's been a little while since we got to at least get on the FaceTime or these opportunities. So it was good to have you on the podcast. Love to hear from you more. And then obviously, best of luck moving forward. We'll be in touch for sure. And everybody, that does it for another episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast. You got Matt Mayberg over at Lewis and Clark. Again, thank you. Doug Caputo and Alan Major signing off. Keep working. Keep rising, coaches. Prepare your team for success this season with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball, the official number one selling shooting machine in basketball. If you're looking to transform and focus your team's training efforts, all you have to do is mention Rising Coaches or tell them we sent you with the Rising Coaches Podcast. For an additional $300 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines. I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in with us this episode. If you are not a member, want more content, or even be a potential member on our member spotlight to have your story heard, go visit risingcoaches.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Rising Coaches. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating, and review so we can continue to keep rising together.